I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome back to the Pedestrian Podcast, still the only official UK Seahawks podcast. This week, we will preview the Packers game as real, meaningful NFL action is finally here. Whilst going through all the roster cuts and how it all lays out a week away from the opener. To do all that, myself, Stuart Court, is as ever joined, but this time with a full house of a paired podcast. Two guys have had weekends where they've had different sorts of farewells to bid to two of the Seahawks players. Still drying his eyes after the Cassius Marsh Instagram post and trade to the New England Patriots is Mr. Ross Bell and the man desperately looking for the next player to snipe a trail, Mr. Adam Nathan. How are we, guys?
Distraught, been mourning, very sad.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm in a bit of a daze today. I went to a place called Meetopia in London, and in a great, that's what she said. I today have eaten all of the meat, and I spent most of the days with legs like Bruce Grobbelaar in '84. So. Yeah, I'm slowly recovering, and a good dose of gridiron, I'm sure, will help me on my way to recovery.
Nice. Yeah, but all in all, it was a quiet weekend for the Seahawks, wasn't it?
I actually had to charge my phone at work because of the notification I was getting.
Ridiculous. It was mental. Last night, I think someone posted on Twitter earlier today that within 5 years, the NFL is going to turn cutdown day into a primetime event on the NFL Network. Because it was absolute chaos last night. It was mayhem. All main of it coming from G Scott's Twitter account, 710 ESPN Radio. We'll get to that later. But as we said, the action did start early on in the weekend on Friday, just as Ross pressed publish on our podcast chat with Brendan from the Seahawkers pod. The Seahawks has made a deal to make their defense more of a destruction mechanism than anything else.
Pulled it down. Nowhere to go, and he goes down back at the 32-yard line. Sheldon Richardson with the sack in here today. Just Spencer Ware.
Bay and New England winning the Super Bowl there. Second down. Wilson going to run, and now he's going to slide down. He had one of those last week. It's kind of a show-me play against the 49ers. He got a first down.
They're knocking on the door again. Roethlisberger pumps, loses the football, and ends up in the big chest of Sheldon Richardson. Turnover, Pittsburgh. Leonard Williams with a hit. Surgery in January. That ankle has been giving him trouble. Shotgun on second and 10. Shotgun. Slammed down by Richardson.
The Seahawks making somewhat of a blockbuster trade for New York Jets former first round pick and former NFL defensive rookie of the year, defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson. The cost of the trade was a second round and a seventh for Sheldon, with us receiving a seventh round pick back. But obviously there was a player involved in all that as well, as the Seahawks bid a fond farewell of sorts to number 15, Jermaine Kearse. First, though, on Richardson. This could be fun, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, it's great. When the news about Doug Baldwin being the ultimate team player, as he always is, came through about him restructuring his deal, and it became clear how much money they had freed up, it was fairly obvious during the day that a trade was going to be done. Yeah. And then when it was done, I got texts from my friends in Seattle. I got texts from you guys. It was Twitter, and me sat in the middle of a wedding. So it really wasn't a great place for me to be. But much like Basil Fawlty, I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it. So, it was very exciting, and it's going to add a lot to that defensive line that, because of an AV incident or whatever they're called, was probably one short of full capacity.
Yeah, I mean, the Malik McDaniels, that is the spark which causes fire, which has resulted in this big, the big lad coming to Seattle, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, what seemed like fairly disastrous draft pick. It's worked out all right, hasn't it, in the end? We managed to flip it to get Richardson in there on a one-year prove-it deal, basically. If he works out, give him a new deal. And we've also got what would effectively be a first-round rookie coming to us next year as well.
Yeah, I think the hopes of keeping Sheldon Richardson past this year are quite slim. I think he's going to be one to be paid more than Mo Wilkerson was back at the Jets, which is $18 million per, which is not going to happen in Seattle. But as I said, the other half of the bargain was that the Seahawks bid a farewell to number 15, Jermaine Kearse, the target of a lot of criticism from many Seahawks fans after what was a pretty dreadful 2016 season. As we spoke to Brendan about when it was just rumours of a trade and Kearse being on the block, after all that, it's a bit of a strange farewell, isn't it? Now it's happened. It's all a bit weird, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, well, part of the reason I was getting a lot of the messages is that I am, I would say, slightly unfairly dubbed as the Kearse hater, as opposed to a detractor, which I feel sums me up slightly better. You know, doing this podcast, it's all very well just ranting and raving, but I do feel that there's a responsibility to report fairly honestly what we see and what we think, and I've never thought he was the greatest player, but I would have been disappointed if they just cut him, given the contract they gave him last year, and I think that he's a guy that does deserve to prolong his NFL career. He's not a bad player. I just don't think he's good enough for our team. And whilst it probably sucks to end up on the Jets, if it means he gets a longer career out of it, then good luck to him. And, you know, I can't think there's any Seahawk fans, even the hilarious Twitter ones, and that's hilarious with some of the most inverted of commas around the outside of the word. I'd be very surprised if anyone doesn't hope he has a good career in the future, especially tucked away in the AFC.
Yeah, and he literally could not be further away. And I think the thing with Kearse was when he was on his rookie deal, as it were, it was fine the level that he was playing at. But when we give him the money we give him to and that continued, then it became somewhat of a problem because you can't eat up that much of the salary cap and perform at the level which he did last year. But he wasn't the only one, obviously, on offense last year. Any change in your thoughts on Kearse since Wednesday, Thursday, Ross?
It's still kind of the same. It just feels a bit weird that, like we said then, we're not going to see 15 lining up for that little 5-yard out route, which we seem to start every season with. That's the pass we get going with, and that's going to have to be to someone else now. But yeah, fair play to him. He's like I think you said on the other show the other day. His catch ratio was about 50% this season on about 90 targets. That's not good enough for what we need to do. So have fun catching balls from whoever's throwing them to you in New York.
I think the trade works in a positive way for a number of ways. I think when you have a rookie cornerback, one of the best ways to protect him is having a dominant defensive line, and I think Shaq Griffin will be absolutely delighted that there's another huge playmaker, especially coming up through the middle, which is where a lot of teams getting a lot of success these days. And offensively, it's not maybe that Kearse was dropping passes, but he was taking a lot of targets away from players that we would have preferred to have them. With a bit of luck, it should add some efficiency to the red zone as well, because if you give the extra 10 red zone targets to Jimmy Graham, I'm pretty sure he's going to convert 8 of them.
That's a pretty fair way of summing it all up. Also, two more things on Sheldon Richardson. If he's ever lined up in week one in a defensive front four of Michael Bennett, Clark, Cliff Avril, and Mr. Richardson, then since the quartet, since 2013, that quartet would boast 95 sacks since 2013, with 65 of them coming from Bennett and Avril, and then a further 18 coming from Sheldon Richardson. So, as I said, it's just added to all the destruction of the defense, and the rich get richer on that side of the ball. Also, we are going to try, as per podcast guest from a few weeks ago, Michael Sean Dugar, who pulled out the most amazing of polls on Twitter and referred to him as Switowski. So that is how we're going to try to refer to him during the season on Twitter, Switowski from the Youngest Yard. If you've got a computer near, go and Google that. It is absolutely perfect.
Feel like I should interject and say that on April the 19th this year, because I am petty enough to go back and check, I did text you, Stu, in the midst of the Sherman stuff and say, what about trading Sheldon Richardson for Richard Sherman and exchange of picks? So, you know, there are a few people on Twitter saying, oh, well done this guy and well done that guy for getting the Richardson one in, you know, middle of August. Yeah, well, mate, had it in April. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Adam Schefter got nothing on me. Sorry. Was it?
I think I said on the podcast a few weeks back when there was rumours that they were looking to trade Richardson. Yeah,
so yeah, it was after me there, mate, wasn't it? It was after me. So
I was busy on April 19th. That's my daughter's birthday.
Let the savant be the savant.
But yeah, obviously on Friday, though, the team were not done making trades with teams in the AFC East. They made a trade for a seventh round pick for nickel corner Justin Coleman. Coleman was for a couple of days 2 years ago on the Seahawks practice squad before signing for the Patriots, but he has made his way back to Seattle and seems entrenched at that nickel spot and really adds another body to the secondary group, doesn't he, Ross?
Yeah, I don't really know much about him, but he's 6 foot, he's fairly young, and competition, that's what we need there. If Jeremy Lane continues like he continued last year in that position, then we might see Coleman play some football.
Yeah, I think he's also a big guy on special teams. Obviously, DeAndre Elliott went down in the Oakland game on Thursday night when he's out for the year, up on IR. Mike Tyson has been cut, which we'll get to in a second. So, yeah, I think Coleman, Lane, Shaq and Nico Thorpe, it's a good rotation opposite Sherman, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, especially if Deshaun Shedd can come back healthy. If he can come back healthy, then I wouldn't rule us out reclaiming our title of the lowest points against, because I think that could be, you know, in all three levels of the defense, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think just as I said earlier, the Richard certainly got Richard on to Saturday while all the names were starting to filter out of the who had been let go, to some of them getting more reaction and reverb around Seahawks Twitter. Which is podcast guest Rob Staten also did call last night drama queens on Seahawks Twitter. The team did make two more trades because the two they made on Friday weren't enough. They traded a conditional seventh round pick for Isaiah Battle from the Kansas City Chiefs, a offensive lineman who was a rare supplemental draft pick in 2015 for the Rams. But then the team went and broke Mr. Bowles' heart and traded defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher, Cassius Marsh to the New England Patriots for a fifth and seventh round pick. Adam?
I've only really got one thing to say, and it's... Oh, Cassius. Sweet Cassius. Ross barely did know you. And our linebacker group looks slightly weaker without you. But deep down, you were a bit rubbish. And I feel that Ross should take it from here, because I feel so sad for him.
I'm going to frame Ross. My Cassius jersey. We're going to have to get it framed, put up on the wall. I'm fully aware he was not the best defensive end in the league, and even on our team by a mile. But he was a trier. I like a trier. And he's a bit of a geek and all. He likes magic and that sort of stuff. And he's a good player. And it's a shame to see him go. I'm really sad to see him go, because we've all had favourite players leave our football teams. Stu, when Robbie Keane left yours and Adam...
Mate, I'm a Coventry City fan. We have one leave every week.
Well, yeah, pretty much at the minute. Gareth Bale, probably for you, Adam, people like that.
Yeah, it's a bit deep, mate. All right, exactly. No need to turn the screw.
It's Sol Campbell, wasn't it, Adam?
Right, I'm leaving.
It seems strange to say that's on that level for me, but that's how much I love that man. And I bought a shirt of his. I mean, who's paying that much money for a Seahawks shirt with Marsh on the back if they don't love their player that much? But I'm sure he's going to go and get 15 sacks this season for the Patriots as they march to another Super Bowl.
I feel he's got a fitting send-off now.
Yeah, there was one other person who had a jersey, a Cassius Marsh jersey. Ian had one, didn't he, Adam?
did. God rest his soul.
Yeah, so that was. So you weren't alone, Ross, in that. But the fifth round and the seventh round pick, 2018 from the Patriots.
That's fair enough.
It must be pretty cool, as we talked about, Kirst getting into a situation like he's going to. But it must be pretty cool on the opposite end for Marsh that someone like Bill Belichick wants you as much as he clearly did, Adam?
Yeah, if you were any player, you'd want to go and play for the Patriots just to see what it's like there. I know they're a bit suppressive with what they let you do in the media and whatever, but there's no way if you're anyone worth your salt, if you would go to the Patriots, because you just want to see what Brady's like and Belichick's like. It must be fascinating, and I'm pleased for him because, you know, Kirst has, you know, gone to a bit of a dumpster fire in New York, and it's the opposite for Marsh. And yeah, I mean, as Ross says, he probably had 15 sacks.
Someone put on one of the Facebook groups yesterday, why are we even answering the phone when Belichick's calling? It's never good for us.
But, yeah, but two picks for a player who was probably only going to be a
rotation at best.
Yeah, and he was only going to get one pick if you ever in 2019. We got the two picks a year earlier, which will probably then turn into five picks in 2019 anyway.
when we inevitably
trade back in the first round. But yeah, it's a good situation for him. It's a good the cost,
they need,
I guess.
To replace a white guy with tattoos because Chris Long's gone, so
and Ninkovich is retired as well, and obviously they've only got, I think they've still got Kyle Van Noy, but yeah.
Did you say Colin Kazim Richards retired from the New England Patriots?
What?
Wouldn't surprise Kyle me Van... if he was there.
Anyway, moving on, after possibly what was either the best or worst 3 minutes of this podcast, the team eventually, at the hours of Sunday morning, announced all their players, which they had given different designations to. Following players were flat-out cut and waived. They were quarterback Trevon Boykin, offensive lineman Darrell Brown, linebacker Ronald Butler, running backs Alex Collins and Mike Davis, cornerback Pierre Desir, wide receiver Cyril Grayson, defensive tackle Tyler Harris, center Joey Hunt, defensive tackle Quinton Jefferson, wide receiver Kenny Lawless, defensive tackle Jeremy Liggins, defensive tackle Greg Milhouse, Bart must be heartbroken, wide receiver David Moore, linebacker Cache Palacio, offensive lineman Will Perisak, linebacker Othar Peters, wide receiver Darius Rogers, tight end Tyrone Swoops, offensive lineman Tyrus Thompson, cornerback Mike Tyson, and wide receiver Kaysom Williams. Of all the names, it's the first and the last one which caught all the attention, wasn't it? Kaysom, the news of Kaysom's imminent release via G. Scott from ESPN's Twitter was a calm and subdued affair, Ross.
Yeah, just a bit. It's definitely unlike our fans to go mental at something that's not yet confirmed. Yeah, it's a shock that he's been released, but I think it was either Field Goals or Hawk Blogger said that he's not the best blocking wide receiver, and that's something that Pete and John both rate very highly. That's one of the reasons why Kirst stuck around for so long, that they can block and free up space for people. That's one of the. Yeah. He has flashed with some nice catches in preseason and some good performances, but it's got to be the whole game, I think.
Yeah. Adam, you had a pretty cool and sort of accurate comparison to make for Kaysom on your site. Do you want to share it with the masses?
Yeah. So I was looking at him and the plays he was making, and it reminded me quite a lot of Terrell Pryor in Cleveland last year. And I just feel that he's not the type of receiver. I should preface all of this by saying I would absolutely have kept him around. But if I was trying to get into Pete and John's head, I would think they were looking at a guy who, in general, runs one or two routes very well, makes plays on plays that we would never normally call in games that matter. I mean, how often do you see a jump ball with a Seahawks wide receiver and a defensive back? It's so, so rare. You know, we, in general, prioritize guys that run really great clean routes and get themselves open as opposed to competition. It's one of the reasons we all bemoan Jimmy Graham not getting enough targets, because Wilson's not willing just to throw the ball up. That with the blocking, I wonder, is what made them think he's not the guy for us. As I say, I think it's the wrong decision. I think you can always have a guy that you can go up and, you know, throw the ball up and he'll go and get it, hopefully. But I think that with the way that they run the team, and this is a complete hindsight because I thought he'd make it, thinking about it has sort of got me to the conclusion that maybe he just isn't their kind of guy at all.
No, I mean, he hasn't shown a lot in a variance of route running and stuff. And obviously they did cut Chris Matthews after he had 175,000 yards in the Super Bowl. So if they're going to cut a guy who does that in the biggest game on the biggest stage, it possibly shouldn't be a surprise that they cut a guy if he does it in against the backups in, of the Chargers. But yeah,
Kevin Norwood as well, and they're both similar age.
Yeah, it was a surprise, but he stuck around. He's fought, he's scrapped his way to to how he looked during the preseason. While it was a surprise, and it wasn't, it was less of a surprise to see that he didn't even make it past the first team on the waiver wire this morning. He's been claimed by the Cleveland Browns. But yeah, it was possibly the biggest shock. Obviously, the other guy at the top of the list was quarterback Trevon Boykin. Austin Davis is the, for now, backup quarterback for the Seahawks, Adam.
I mean, what a fall from grace that is for Boykin. I mean, that is embarrassing from him, to be brutally honest. I mean, Austin Davis is, honestly, I think you could quite comfortably have cut them both and just treated it like fantasy football and just streamed a guy that you need to pick him up the week before a game, because Austin Davis is rubbish, and he's got the job. And you know, we joked when he started out that it was a waste of money, but he's actually going to play or be involved in a game. I mean, God help us if we get an injury there now. But maybe it'll get Colin Kaepernick in the door sooner. Who knows? I find that whole thing just astonishing.
Yeah, and obviously Brock Osweiler, he's onto his third team before Colin Kaepernick's onto his second team. And Colin Kaepernick played in two back-to-back championship games and the Super Bowl. But anyway, on top of the curse trade, the team also did trade cornerback Tremaine Brock to Minnesota for, guess what, a seventh round pick on top of the Battle Mars trades. Tremaine Brock, we hardly knew ye. That's pretty much it, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, all the faffing, and you know, when he signed, we were thinking, yeah, is this juice worth the squeeze? I mean, what was the point of that? I mean, I know you get a seventh round pick for it, which will spurn on someone rubbish. but, you know, seriously, like, what is the point of going through all of the discussions and the chagrin that it causes about signing someone like that? Some of these guys will never cease to amaze.
Brock?
Yeah, we weren't particularly happy that he'd signed, and I don't particularly care that he's no longer on our team. That we
pretty much. The team also did.
He doesn't get violins.
No. Yeah, the strangest music bed on podcast history. The team also did terminate three vested veterans in the form of linebacker Mike Morgan, fullback Marcel Reese, and defensive tackle, something that Brandon off the Seahawks pod did actually predict. Yeah. He's not the only savant in the village, Adam. Atuba Rubin was released. But there is a term that we should term, Adam, for Marcel Reese. He's been too coaffed, isn't he?
He's been too coaffed. For those that aren't aware, Marcel Reese's contract, I believe, would have been fully guaranteed if he'd made the roster, as Will Tukuafu's would have been 2 years ago now, or last year?
Last year.
So what they do is they'll cut him and they'll pick him up after week one, and he'll be on the roster for the rest of the year, I imagine, at the expense of probably Trey Madden.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, if they do pick him up, and if they could even do the same with Mike Morgan as well, his contract will just be the veteran minimum and nothing more than that. And it won't be guaranteed. It'll be just literal peanuts. But yeah, also there were three players who were waived injured. They were cornerback Demetrius McCray, defensive tackle Rodney Coe, and linebacker Christian French. And they have all joined George Fant and Marcus Camardi and DeAndre Elliott on injured reserve. But as it all shakes out, the depth chart, there's more questions to answer on the offensive side, isn't there, Russ?
Yeah, I think there is. The receivers, for me, look, you get past Doug Richardson and Lockett, and it's shaky at best. Offensive line looks fairly set, doesn't it? I don't think we've got any more worries with that well, until we actually see them playing proper games.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's humans on it, but apart from that.
There's names.
And most of them are large, but apart yeah. from that, I don't know what we can say.
Yeah. Like someone tweeted out the Bills wide receiver core and the Jets, if you go through it, it's you're not sure if you get when they get to the fifth or sixth name if they're actually real people or if they're just like football manager regens or something. But sorry to interrupt, Russ.
That's all right, yeah, it's just that it worries me slightly that the lack of depth at receiver, but we said before we started recording that you've got Jimmy Graham that you can basically class as a wide receiver, and also Procise is no stranger to lining up on the outside as well. So there is depth there, just not in the actual receiver room.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if they do make moves for the three veterans on the Tuikuafu deal, I think people like Isaiah Battle, Jordan Reeves and Matt Tobin could be in some danger for that, and maybe even your boy Tyler McAvoy did make the 53 in way of our guy Adam Kenny Lawler.
I am a bit confused by JD McKissick because I just don't. For me, he is this year's Alex Collins.
Yeah.
And I saw a great tweet earlier about how much the Seahawks love guys who do a lot of things at a mediocre level, and I think he's the type of guy that just sums that up perfectly.
Yeah.
For me, Tanner McAvoy, and I might even put Nick Vinette in that category as well. I mean, for me, Tanner McAvoy looks like it could be a future tight end, and I probably would have stuck with the extra wide receiver and maybe not had Vinette or McKissick, but it's not my team, so it's not for me to say. But looking at, you know, the back end of the wide receiver and the tight end groups, you know, there's not, you don't necessarily think that the ceiling is too high on some of those guys.
No, I agree. The fact that McKissick is on this roster and some of the names we've gone through earlier are not is just a bit strange. But since the roster cuts earlier today, the practice squad for the Seahawks has started to take shape. Wide receiver and seventh round pick from April, David Moore, defensive tackle Garrison Smith, center 2016 draft pick Joey Hunt, and undrafted free agent from this year, tight end who was a quarterback at Texas, Tyrone Swoops, have all got through the waivers and reverted to what eventually will become a 10-man squad. But as ever, that will be a heavily rotated group, as it was last year. It will be in 2017 too. A few, as we said, Kason Williams has been picked up by the Browns, Pierre Desir has been picked up by the Colts, and Alex Collins has landed on the practice squad for the Ravens after deciding against joining the practice squad for the Jets. But I think that's everything, isn't it, for the rosters?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We've covered every player.
Yeah, so now all the roster is sorted. Should we move on to week one, chaps?
Oh, yeah. Football's back.
It is. Right, as everyone has probably had circled in their calendars for 6 months, the Seahawks are heading to Lambeau Field next Sunday night to face Aaron Rodgers, Martellus Bennett, and the Green Bay Packers. The last time we saw them was last December at Lambeau Field, where the Packers just had their way with us as Russell Wilson threw 6 interceptions and the Packers won 38-10. Aaron Rodgers went 18 for 23, 246 and 3 touchdowns on the night. For stats as an NFC West team, this is near as tough as it can get, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, there's not many better teams in the NFC than the Packers. That offense is loaded. I'm still not sure about Montgomery at running back, but wide receiver wise, it's looking pretty special. And they've added to the defense as well with Kevin King in the draft. So, like you said earlier, the rich have got richer.
Yeah, it's that offense just look quite potent with the Martellus Bennett and Jared Cook added to all the mix, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could argue that better to play them in the first week of the year when the weather is going to be decent and, you know, there won't be conditions to deal with as well as the game. I still think this is going to come a week too early for us, at least. And I don't know, I think if we win this, this would be a heck of a win. You know,
yeah.
If they win this, then you could probably lay down a marker and say that this team healthy is the best team in the NFC. In the same way as last year when they beat the Patriots, you could say, you know, if the chips fall right for us, we could be the best team in the NFC. But I'm tentative to say that we're going to win. I've always thought all summer that it's going to be just, you know, 0-1 and we start the week after.
Yeah, I'm, as I said on the pod a few days ago with Ross and Brandon, I'm putting this down as a tentative loss. The Sheldon Richardson move does spike my confidence a little, but this is pretty tough. We mentioned him briefly there, but Aaron Rodgers is the best at what he does in the NFL, but if not the NFL, pretty certainly the NFC, isn't he, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to disrespect Russ, but yeah, he's no Aaron Rodgers, and he's coming into what is 32nd. Yeah, he's 32 this season, so I mean, he's still got a long way to go, and he needs another ring to solidify himself as one of the greatest of all time, I think. But yeah, he's pretty good, and he's got some nice targets to throw to. A fully fit Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, and like I say, Martez Bryant now as well. Scary.
Yeah, it's very, very potent. Rodgers, best NFC, Adam?
I would go one further, and I think that if you were building a franchise from scratch in football history, I think you'd take Rodgers as your quarterback.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that as well. I think he is just... No one does the things how he does them as well as he does them, I think. But obviously,
I think he's the kind of guy... Sorry, I know everyone says that, you know, if you could have one of Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, which would you do? And if Belichick had, you know, I had a quite fun conversation of who is the worst quarterback in the league that Belichick could win the Super Bowl with. And I sort of feel with Aaron Rodgers, he just transcends his coaches. And I think you could put him in any situation and he'd make a winning team regardless.
Oh yeah, Mike McCarthy's not responsible for Aaron Rodgers, is he?
No.
If
anything, Mike McCarthy handcuffs Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. One thing I do keep saying that Jared Cook's their tight end. That was last year. They did sign another former Rams tight end in Lance Kendrick, not Jared Cook. But still, that is a pretty potent offense. On defense, though, there are a few more questions. As Brandon mentioned last week, their pass rush doesn't offer much. And then they've got a familiar face at possibly starting at cornerback, Adam.
Yeah. I did think Kevin King, I think we said right from the start, he's probably a third round pick, and you know, being taken as high as he was, he may have been taken on measurables as opposed to tape. But it'll be cool to see him play if he does. And I hope Doug Baldwin has his absolute way with him.
Yep. And there also was a pretty cool piece somewhere on the interweb last week where talking of the freedom that Doug Baldwin gets in the Seahawks offense now, as he showed against the Vikings in preseason game number 2. But yeah, the pass rush is not as scary. This is probably jinxing it all, but they're going to face fierce pass rushes during the course of the season, and this one in Green Bay, aren't they, Ross?
Yeah, this gives the offensive line a nice, not an easy route into the season, but it's not that, like you say, it's not the hardest group they're going to face, so it can give them a bit of confidence early on if they can keep Wilson clean for the majority of the game. Obviously he'll run into a sack at some point because he always does, but yeah, it's a nice way to start a season for them, really.
Wide receiver group for the Packers, that's a pretty nice test, obviously with Aaron Rodgers, but it's a pretty good test for Justin Coleman, Jeremy Lane and Shaq Griffin, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I think we'll certainly spend the majority of the game in nickel, if not maybe even a dime defense at times. Because you know, I've never been convinced about KJ Wright against tight ends. I think no. We've seen more than enough of that to know where that story would go. So yeah, I mean, from a defensive point of view, it's a great test. It's a good one to get out of the way. And I think all over the field, you'd be disappointed if the game ended up as one-sided as last year, and you'd probably think that was a worry for the season. Yeah. I'm trying to think back to 2 years ago when we lost on the second week. We actually took the lead going into the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we did.
Although I never felt we were the better team in that game. I don't know what it was. It didn't feel right. You'd hope that we'd keep it closer than that game as well, and that we could sneak out a win. If we can't get close to them, I would be worried and be disappointed.
Yeah, I'd agree. Moving on into week one, though, the Seahawks do not seem to have a clear guy at running back. Do the Seahawks have a number one running back this year, Ross, or is it just another running back by committee or go with a hot hand?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be the committee, yeah. Like I think Pete said this week, it's whoever's playing the best is going to get the starts. I want it to be rules. I've drafted him in my fantasy teams, and I think he is the best running back we've got at doing what we want to do, the way we play football. We're going to see, obviously, Lacey. He's going to try and put on a performance against his former team, but I don't want it to be all about Eddie Lacey. I want it to be about us trying to win, regardless of what he's doing.
Yeah. Adam, RB1 or committee?
I don't think... This is a tough one because Eddie Lacey being an ex-Packer obviously skews it slightly. But let's assume we weren't playing the Packers. I would reckon that Thomas Rawls would see the first and second down runs on at least the first three series.
Yeah.
And they take it from there. I think that whilst they have a committee of guys they want to use, it would be very surprising to me if they weren't viewing Thomas Rawls as the number one running back in the room, certainly on first down. And take it from there. And if they need to bring in Lacey, you know, process will be, split out wide, and he might be a third down guy. But I'd be very surprised if Rawls wasn't the nominal number one, and then we'll go to committee if needed going into the year.
Rawls is currently listed as questionable as well for this game.
of course he is.
Of course he is.
What role, if any, do you see? Or is he going to even be active? Chris Carson playing in this game after what was a pretty impressive preseason, Adam?
Oh, that's a good question. You've got to have eight guys not playing.
Which is, by the way, ridiculous.
It's stupid.
If you've got 53, you've only got 53, you should have 53 active. Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
I would imagine that Trey Madden wouldn't play. McAvoy may not play. Maybe a few of those offensive linemen.
Yeah, Battle and Toby aren't seeing anything, are they?
You wouldn't have thought so. Maybe Jordan Roos as well. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So it's tricky. I have to say, if I had the ball on the 1 yard line and it wasn't going to be Rawls, I'd rather it went to Carson than Lacey, because I think he gets lower and he accelerates through the line much quicker and much more explosive than Lacey. I have to say, I would have not shed a tear if Lacey wasn't on the team, given what I've seen in preseason. But you know, they're giving him so much money, they've got to give him a chance. But I imagine Carson will be used, should be used well as a situational back this year.
Yeah. Ross, do you agree? Week one?
Yeah, I think he should be active. I think all four running backs should be active, not including McKissick. He can just be the return guy. But yeah, Carson can just come in and he can be the thumper, basically. If you've got these short yardage situations, no need to risk Rawls in these, just bring Carson to blow the boom.
Yeah, I think we mentioned about 10 minutes ago, but I forgot about the existence of JD McKissick. That was strange. On the defensive side for the Seahawks, do you see much impact? Obviously, a week, three, four practices is all Sharon Richards is going to get. Do you see him making much impact, Ross?
Well, he's looked good for the Jets in pre-season from what I've seen. He's had a couple of sacks and he's busting through O-lines like they're not even there. So I think I don't think it's going to be too much. If you can't impress playing defence in Seattle, then where can you impress?
Yeah. Adam?
I didn't hear the question, sorry.
Sheldon going to make much of an impact next week?
I think so. I mean, Rodgers is a kind of guy that, he is fairly unfazed by pressure up the middle because he likes to get outside anyway. So what I'd hope is that we can use Richardson up the middle and then Bennett and Averill to sort of set the edge on the outside and sort of come at it with very much with a three-prong attack, because you need that against Rodgers, because he's so good at even rolling left and passing across his body, you know, to his right. The guy's a phenom. And ultimately, Rodgers is going to make plays. And I think, you know, the offense have got to think we need to score 30. And that's no slight on the defense. They're a great group, but it's the best guy to play the position. And it's opening day, and there'll be the extra adrenaline. So as much as I hope that Richardson can do a job, for me it's on the offense to win this game, not the defense.
On our depth chart, Richardson's just listed as a D lineman. He's not a tackle or an end, he's just DL.
Yeah, but also with Rodgers, he makes the slightest movement with his legs, where it's just not even like a full step. He makes just steps aside a little bit. He, as I say, he's the best of that. And having someone like that in the middle is a big thing, a big addition. When you face it,
the Chiefs, didn't we?
It is almost the perfect spot for him to show just what he's going to bring. Obviously we are going to start, as Adam mentioned a few podcasts ago, we are going to start to look to chart games on the interweb somewhere. Are you too good to do that, as I will be knee deep in Fireball in Scotland next week? Is that good for you two?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And we'll report back and go from there. And obviously, anyone listening, anyone who's on Patreon, anyone on the Facebook group, anyone anywhere can obviously join in with Adam and Russ and us guys as we keep doing that through the season. Before we go, just on to something else. One to keep an eye out for on offense for week one, Russ.
I want to see Lockett fit, and I want to see him active, and I want to see him burning up corners all day long, because he's the practices that I've seen and the way he's moving, he's looking smooth and swift. So hopefully he's fully back, and he could be a real weapon again this year.
Yeah, Adam.
I will go with Jimmy Graham, who both of us have said has got a good shot to be tight end one this year in the league, having a real throwback game and with two touchdowns for the team this week.
Yeah, well, when we traded for Harvin, people said that was to beat the Packers or 49ers, I think. And when we traded for Graham, it's because he just demolished and bullied the Packers every time he played them. Yeah. So it would be good to see that. But for me, I think it is going to be Reese Olihambo on the left-hand side. Actually, he played quite well after George Fant went down. But I think him continuing that and solidifying that left-hand side along with Luke Jokel on the inside of him is going to be a big thing, because that is probably going to be the side that Clay Matthews is going to come from, and he is obviously the top man in their pass rusher, even if he is a bit of a cheap shot artist. Russ, score prediction?
31-28 to the Seahawks.
Christ. That's not going to be good for the blood pressure. Adam?
I am going to go 27-21 Green Bay, but with the caveat that I'm not ruling us out. I just don't think we're going to win this one.
27-21. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals.
Yeah. No, just note it down, that's all. I think I'm
Limey, you're getting professional this year.
I'm going to go 30-27 Packers, I think. I think Aaron Rodgers might abuse a rookie cornerback this week. He knows all the tricks of the trade. He's got receivers who can run every part of the route tree. So I think in Lambeau, if this is in Seattle, it would be a lot more confidence. But I think as we stand six days away from the start of the game, I think this the.
He doesn't test Sherman, as we've seen before, does he? He doesn't throw to Sherman's side of the field.
Yeah, but he didn't throw to Sherman's side of the field much in the championship game a couple of years ago, and they should have won that one. So
yeah, it's going to be a busy game for Griffin, definitely.
Yeah, but as I said, we will look to chart and we'll report back next week. But before we wrap up this quite long and quite packed podcast so far, we'll just have a quick run through our season predictions, which are up on the Google Sheet. They should be in inboxes in the next few days. If you are a chapter member or want to get involved, get in touch with one of us and we will send you the link. Last year, somehow, Terry Pepper won. But moving on for this year, we will start with how many games will the Seahawks win in 2017? Adam?
11.
Yep. That's the number I've got. Russ?
13.
Jesus. Right, the 3 losses, Russ.
Rams, Jags, and Texans.
The Jags.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games we're expected to win. It's cross country, it's early morning. It'll just be a disappointment.
Yeah, but they've just cut their best quarterback, Brandon Allen.
True. It'll be one game where Bortles just throws 5 touchdowns and everything just seems to land perfectly for them.
Yeah. The Seahawks make it how far, Russ?
All the way.
Adam?
Championship game.
Yeah, well, I've put Super Bowl on the prediction sheet because I'm just a bit of a sucker, but I think the title game will be where the Seahawks go. Russell Wilson throws for how many yards, Adam?
Blimey. 4,450.
I thought you were going to have all four, like 4,452. I'm going to get 4,700. Russ?
I'm going for around 5,000.
Oh, okay. The Seahawks leader rusher at the end of the year is Adam
Thomas Rawls.
Yep. The defensive MVP for the Seahawks will be Adam
Richard Sherman.
I'm going to go Cam Chancellor. I think this year, I think he's seems to be hopefully appears fully healthy. All the ankle floating bones he had in there sorted out. I think he will be the top guy. Offensive MVP will be Russ.
Jimmy Graham.
I've got Doug.
Doug Baldwin.
Yep. The NFL MVP league wide will be Adam.
Oh, God. Antonio Brown.
Wow. I know I've just give offensive MVP to someone else, but I think it might be Russell Wilson this year.
I agree as well.
I think the table might be set for Mr. Wilson. The rookie of the year in the NFL will be
Christian McCaffrey.
On the offense, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got him in two fancy leagues, so I hope so. The rookie of the year, I am going to go... I think Deshaun Watson's going to take him to the playoffs.
I'm going to go the other quarterback. I think Deshaun Kaiser might get the Browns a lot closer to 500 than we all possibly thought. And before we go too deep into it, the Super Bowl will be between Adam.
Oh, God. See, my problem is that I think the two best teams in the league are the Patriots and the Steelers.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one of them against... Oh, goodness. Ross, you go, because you might have something to say. You probably got the Seahawks against the Jags or something.
I've got the Seahawks against Cassius Marsh in the Super Bowl.
Well, just Cassius Marsh, 53 yeah. against one.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I think the Super Bowl will be the Packers against the Patriots.
All right, well, I'll go Packers against Steelers then, just to be a bit different.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, the Sheldon Richardson has kind of piqued my interest, but that's a bit silly just to... At the same time, it's a bit silly. But no, I just don't... There's just going to be a crumble there somewhere. There's going to be an injury there somewhere. It's just going to... ruin all of our plans in early February. But yeah, all of that is on the yeah, man. We lost some draw 0-0 at Chesterfield yesterday. Nisa saw this weird tilted spire, wherever it is. But yeah, cool, all that is on the prediction sheet. We will keep a check on that throughout the year. As we did last week, we're going to bring that back for this year. We're going to do a lock and a shock every week. The week one lock of the week, Ross. The absolute banker.
Well, it's the Patriots to beat the Chiefs, obviously.
Really?
Yeah. They're not going to lose the Super Bowl party, are they? The unveiling of that one. In my Survivor League, I've gone for the Rams to beat the Colts, because the Colts are shite without Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Adam, lock of the week.
I will go for my lock. Oh, it's quite a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a good week of games.
It's a good week of games. I will go for... I'll go for the Steelers to beat the Browns.
Yeah. I will go the Falcons to beat the Bears.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Shock of the week, Russ.
I'm going to go the reverse of Adam's game, because the Steelers aren't very good in Cleveland. They always win, but they don't score many points, and the Browns are looking feisty.
Is Le'Veon Bell going to play this week?
Yeah.
He's back, okay. Yeah, but he's had no practice. He's been too busy rapping all summer.
Such an idiot. shock of the week, Adam?
I'm not sure this will count as a shock of the week, but I reckon the Titans will beat the Raiders.
Yeah, that is one of the ones I was looking at. I guess it does, because the Raiders were the playoff last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the playoff team, Titans.
Also, how is that game not on TV in the early fixtures?
What is the early game on Sky?
The Bucks versus the Dolphins.
Dolphins are coming to Wembley, though, aren't they?
Oh, I'm excited to see Jake Cutler, though. That's fine.
I'm not even sure.
Florida Derby.
Florida Tar. I'm going to go with the... Oh, God, this is a terrible first shock.
Niners?
No, that's not going to happen. The same way, the Chargers to beat the Broncos, just because it's in Denver. Hmm? Although that team is an absolute sham. but yeah, I think that is going to be my lock of the shock of the week. But yeah, where can people catch and get involved with Patreon and push us back up the iTunes if that's still a possibility at this point? Ross?
It is indeed. If you want to push us up those iTunes charts, then make sure you subscribe on every single Apple and other device that has podcasts on it. Subscribe to us on that, using whatever podcast app it uses, and that will push us up the charts. Never mind about reviews. They're nice, but they don't do anything for rankings. Make sure you subscribe. Share it with everyone. We post them on Facebook every time. We post them on our page. We post them on the UK Seahawkers page. Share it. Share it with every group you're in. Flood the people with our great podcast. And you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast.
Very, very professionally done. Ross? Yeah, that is all we have this week. It's been a bit of a hectic, busy weekend for the Seahawks. This is our third podcast in less than a week after a quiet off-season, and we were goaded out of our shadows by the Seahawks podcast. We've now done three in a week, so put that right up. Whatever the follows up those words. But yeah, until next time, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast. Hope you enjoy the game next week, wherever you watch it. Meaningful NFL Seahawks football is back, baby.
Go Hawks.
Couldn't help myself.
Please do that.
There's a picture of him sleeping, getting the tattoo. That's brilliant.
But what are you on?
I'm in the dark, I don't worry about me.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 48 champions.